You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Ohio is one of a handful of states, along with Florida, Nevada, and Virginia, that most experts feel will be pivotal in the upcoming presidential election. The economic turnaround in Ohio matters a great deal, and in all those states, in fact, not just for the number of jobs saved or added, but also for who deserves the credit, the president or the Republicans. Matt Bai, chief political correspondent for the New York Times Magazine, looked closely at what's going on in Ohio in his September 9th article, Did Barack Obama Save Ohio? I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
I'm okay. What are the latest unemployment figures in Ohio?
I believe at the last accounting, Ohio was at about 7.1% unemployment. It might have been 7.2. It's in the piece, but I think that's about 1.1 percentage points lower than the national average. It's not the unemployment rate that any state would hope to have in good times, but relative to the moment, it represents a great deal of progress, particularly for a state that was extremely hard hit over the last decade, even at the time when most of the country was doing pretty well.
Republican Governor John Kasich spoke to you about his record. Does he take credit for the improvement in Ohio?
He does. In fact, he takes sole credit for improvement in Ohio. He's not giving any of it away. Kasich's position is that he came in January 2011 at a very difficult time. There's been, during the time that he's been in office, the state has added something like 122,000 jobs. His contention is that that's happened because he got the fiscal house in order, in other words, managed to balance the budget despite what was at that time an $8 billion projected shortfall, created a new and very vigorous and aggressive outreach program to businesses in the state, which he calls Jobs Ohio. It's sort of a privatized effort to create incentives and work with companies to keep them from relocating and to convince them to expand in Ohio, and that he essentially created a predictable climate where everybody can know that taxes aren't going to go up and corporations can feel they have a partner in the capital. So Kasich takes full credit for those numbers.
Now, Jobs Ohio is a non-state agency, but isn't it financed with state money? How does that work?
Oh, it's crazy, Leonard. It's like you couldn't think this up. I don't know. It's the system. I'll try to explain it very briefly, but it's extremely controversial in Ohio. The idea behind Jobs Ohio is that this organization, which is being run by a Silicon Valley venture capitalist and is sort of created among that kind of Silicon Valley model, will go out and issue $500,000 in bonds, effectively borrow $500,000 on the market. They'll pay that money to the state, and in turn, the state will lease Jobs Ohio the rights to the state-run liquor business. And that money, that annual liquor money, will be the operating budget for Jobs Ohio. So it's kind of a big money laundering scheme, and it's the subject of a lot of litigation. I mean, look, what I would say about Jobs Ohio, most people think it's a pretty good idea. There is this great controversy over the funding mechanism, and a lot of Democrats who don't like Kasich are really angry about it. I mean, most people I talk to who don't have an agenda, including the Democratic mayor of Columbus, will tell you that they think Kasich's, really sincere, earnest, and enthusiastic about attracting business, keeping business. He clearly relishes that part of the job, and I think that has to be having some positive impact in Ohio, and they can point to a lot of businesses where he's personally intervened, and Jobs Ohio has intervened, even in its infancy, in an effort to keep jobs there. But when you look at the control governors really have, how long he's been in office, and the fate of Jobs Ohio, because it is tied up in this litigation over its funding scheme, it would be hard, I think, to uphold Kasich's case that he is the sole reason or even the principal reason for growth. That growth started before he came to office. It's accelerated since he's been there. But, it really just isn't enough time, and he hasn't had enough weapons at his disposal to this point to be able to claim full credit for that kind of job growth. I think you'd have to give him partial credit, and then that's about it.
Now, what kinds of jobs are we talking about? Are they mostly non-union jobs? Because that's been a big issue in a number of states. Are they high-paying jobs? Because that's been another issue when we get into these discussions.
Yeah, and this is very hard to know. I mean, and you know, in terms of the union stuff, I mean, Ohio has lost public sector workers, and there has been that fight over public sector unions. And Kasich really took a beating for getting behind a bill that would have curbed collective bargaining and did not succeed.
Unlike Scott Walker, who did succeed in a neighboring state.
Yeah, who did succeed. Kasich jumped on the same bandwagon, and similarly without laying a lot of groundwork. In his case, it was a legislative initiative that he kind of got pulled into and decided to support clearly regrets having done so. You know, when you look into these jobs, here's what we do know. We know it's a diverse stream, which is really important in a state like Ohio, right, where you have these heavy manufacturing states. What really builds more sustainable growth is a diverse stream of jobs. So it's in manufacturing. It has to do with energy, the shale industry, which is getting very, very big in southeastern Ohio. It's healthcare. It's a huge healthcare boom. It's R&D. It's financial services, insurance. So there is, you know, I think hopefully for Ohio, the good news for Ohio, as opposed to in previous mini booms, is that while these job numbers are not, you know, stratospheric, they do represent a diverse stream of jobs. And a lot of it in manufacturing, which of course has been going downhill for a long time. Some of it is auto related. It depends how you define auto, but certainly the auto bailout had some impact. And a lot of it, more than half of it actually, is in either the Columbus or Cincinnati areas, where you see the real emergence of sort of the 21st century economy in high tech, in high tech manufacturing, in financial services, in a lot of the white-collar industries that are really driving growth in urban centers throughout the country.
Now, why had some businesses been leaving Ohio? Is it because manufacturing is moving overseas?
Yeah, I mean, Ohio was badly hit by the trends in manufacturing the rest of the country. Manufacturing really tanked over the 10-year period. Throughout the 2000s and into this decade. And Ohio was a very manufacturing-dependent state by any measure, whether you look at it as a percentage of the nation's manufacturing or as a percentage of Ohio's economy. It is one of the country's leading manufacturing states. So it got hit very hard. And, in fact, foreclosures in the rest of the country started going up in the middle of the last decade and then shot up rather dramatically. They still never hit the rate that you had in Ohio. I mean, Ohio had a consistently high foreclosure rate before other states did. A lot of that manufacturing is now resurgent. There's been an uptick nationally, and there's an uptick in Ohio. Here's the thing about the manufacturing, though, Leonard. As you know, as I talk about in the piece, it's great, both the president's folks in Ohio and Kasich's people can kind of reel off the factories that have added critical shifts and places where companies have added jobs several hundred here, several hundred there. And it's terrific news. But when you travel to a lot of the industrial cities, and I talk specifically in the piece about Lorain, which is one of the hardest hit cities, or if you go to Mansfield, where they used to have a GM stamping plant, what you find is manufacturing growth does not affect communities in nearly the same way that it once did, simply because it used to take four guys to put in a windshield, and now it takes a robotic arm. And so, when you added a third shift, when you were talking about an overnight shift at U.S. Steel 25 years ago, you were talking about thousands and thousands of jobs in the community, and they're good jobs, they're high-paying jobs. When you add that same shift today, you're turning away thousands and thousands of applicants and adding a couple of hundred people. And so the numbers and the trends tell you one thing, but the reality on the ground for families in Ohio, as it is in other places, remains pretty grim.
Isn't there also a price that's paid for keeping companies in a certain place? We've had this debate in New York where tax breaks are offered, all sorts of other deals, so that companies won't move. Is that happening in Ohio? Is that one of Kasich's approaches?
It is. Now, in fairness to Governor Kasich, he's well aware of this, and I asked him about this, we talked about it quite a bit, and I said to him, aren't you starting a free-for-all where every business pokes its head up and says, well, why don't I get in on the action? I could threaten to leave, too. you know, we've all seen this in workplaces, right? it's probably most people listening probably know, and you know, probably can think of someone in their workplace who's, you know, had another job offer and played them off against each other. It works the same way for companies in states. Now, Kasich says, look, we're not going to get into a free-for-all with companies. We're going to evaluate how important the employment is. We're going to have a return on investment within a year or two, meaning, you know, they want to know that they can pay back the loans they give or the tax incentives within a couple of years, so it's not a sustaining debt to the state. And he says, we're getting better and we're getting smarter. We started out trying, but we're getting better and smarter about what we'll give assistance to. Now, if you talk to, say, former Governor Strickland, who, you know, is really sort of the mortal enemy of Kasich here, they really don't like each other much. Strickland will tell you that, you know, that's a bunch of hogwash. And he says, you know, look, when Bob Evans, the restaurant company, which happens to be one of my personal favorites when I'm out there, when Bob Evans says, you know, we're going to leave to Texas unless you give us, you know, tax breaks or loans, they're not serious. It's really hard to move a company. And B, you know, when you find the incentive package to move them a couple towns over to somewhere where the tax situation may be more beneficial, are you really doing anybody in Ohio any good, or are you just being able to claim some jobs numbers, you know, jobs you kept in Ohio? So there is controversy about this. There is partisan controversy in particular. But, you know, credit to the governor in that he doesn't brush this off. I mean, he admits this is something they wrestle with and something they very much want to contain those costs so that it's not simply a question of giving stuff away for free to companies who don't need it.
My guest is Matt Bai, chief political correspondent for the New York Times Magazine. We're talking about his article in the September 9th issue called Did Barack Obama Save Ohio? So let's talk about Barack Obama. At the Democratic National Convention, we heard a lot about President Obama's role in saving the auto industry. Does Governor Kasich credit the auto industry bailout with saving jobs in Ohio?
He really doesn't. You know, when we first talked about it, Leonard, he said, well, look, you know, our data shows that after the auto bailout, we've added 700 of those 120,000, 100 plus thousand jobs we've added, 700 are really related to the auto industry. And in doing that, he's counting, there's a pretty narrow definition. They're counting two kinds of jobs, basically, people who manufacture autos and people who manufacture auto parts. Now, near the end of the, as I was closing the piece, you know, near the end, they came back and said, well, we have new data. We've actually lost auto jobs. So while we're talking up the progress of the state, you know, the new data shows we're down 3,000 plus auto jobs since we took office, and therefore we know the recovery in Ohio has nothing to do with the auto bailout. So Kasich's position really, that's all a complex way of saying Kasich's position is no, the auto bailout really has nothing to do with this. And those of you who talk about the auto bailout are just kind of swallowing a bunch of propaganda.
But could that be true? Because Ohio supplies auto manufacturers with parts and other services, doesn't it?
Well, it is true in the narrowest sense. I mean, it is true in the narrowest sense. If you take the data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and you look at only those two categories of jobs, that is what you'll find. Now, there's a couple problems with that, and I think they're significant problems. One is you really would want to expand the definition of what the auto industry impacts. You know, the president's campaign would take a definition that includes people who sell used cars, people who work in auto parts stores. They would say that 17,000 jobs have been added. That may be a bit expansive, but somewhere in between there is a number of jobs added that is related to the auto industry. But I think more to the point, Leonard, instead of having that debate, because that debate kind of leads you nowhere, is it 700? Is it 17,000? I think the point is, what would have happened to Ohio had the auto makers, two of the big three automakers, gone down when the president intervened early in 2009? And I think there, you know, when you talk to independent analysts and people who work in the industry, people who are experts, I think while the estimates vary, you find that there would have really been a catastrophic effect on employment in Ohio, and that by putting that industry through the restructured bankruptcy, they did save many, many thousands of jobs, not just in the auto industry itself, but in all the attendant industries and the people who do its legal work, its business work, who sell sandwiches, who do engineering and design and environmental planning. There's just a huge ripple effect from the auto industry in states like Ohio and Michigan.
What about the stimulus on other industries? Has that had an impact in Ohio?
Are you talking about the stimulus bill in particular?
Yes.
Or you're just talking about Yeah, I think it did. I mean, look. This is a large argument about what the stimulus did and didn't do, and it's no more popular in Ohio than it is anywhere else. But the fact is that Ohio, as a very large state, took a very large percentage of aid for unemployment insurance, took a very large percentage of aid for Medicaid, took a very large percentage of aid for schools, for capital projects, for so that infrastructure projects could continue. These are things that the administration doesn't get much credit for in Ohio or anywhere else, simply because you don't see them. If unemployment insurance and Medicaid are going out the door as they always go out the door, nobody's going to get credit for saving the economy. But again, as with the auto industry, I think you have to, in fairness to the administration, make the point that had the money run out, had these commitments not been attainable any longer, if they could not have been met by a state that was in economic freefall, the fallout and the effect on families and communities would have been considerably greater than it was in 2009. So if the question is, you know, are federal policies solely responsible for some great recovery in Ohio? The answer is probably no, not solely responsible, and the recovery isn't that pervasive or that robust. But if the question is, did federal policies enable Ohio to recover rather than to continue sinking? I think the answer has to be unquestionably yes.
Well, President Obama is spending a lot of time campaigning in Ohio, but you write that the White House aides informed you that neither the president nor the vice president were making the case for how their policies have helped Ohio. Why not?
I don't know. You should ask them. I found this... I found this both puzzling and very frustrating. Here you are. When you do what I do, Leonard, you know, you hear from White House people a lot, campaigns a lot. All you people care about is polls and who's up and who's down and horse race and process. And sometimes that's true, and sometimes that's just a way of trying not to cooperate with stories that you don't want to cooperate with. But here's a case where we are very clearly talking about the most substantive issue probably having to do with the campaign and a very extensive look at it, right? How is the economy doing in the most pivotal electoral state arguably in the country, and why? And, you know, the fact that the president or the vice president aren't inclined or weren't allowed or whatever happened to actually sit down and make the case for how their policies are responsible for recovery in Ohio seems to me an abdication of sort of your central argument in a campaign. And what it makes me wonder still is whether they believe the things they're saying or whether they just don't feel they can make that case effectively.
You point out that the economic data lag behind the political discussion, that it can be impossible to know how the recovery in Ohio or Florida or Virginia or any other state is until years later. So what do you think that means for this election?
Well, you know, it's something political scientists talk about a lot, and there's a whole school of political science that effectively says nothing matters but economic data, and everything else people like me write about and think about is just a bunch of fluff to fill cable TV or radio shows. I don't think that's true. In fact, I'm pretty certain it's not, but I think that's an extreme view based on data. But I do think, you know, the nexus between economics and politics is tough to figure out and not perfect for the reasons you just said. They work on different timelines. The example I cite in the piece is George H.W. Bush running for re-election in 1992. That economy appeared to be basically dead in the water. It was growing at under 2% per quarter flat. Well, it was flat, but we know 20 years later, after that data is revisited, it was flat at around 4% growth, which is considerably different. It was growing twice as fast as was thought at the time. So, we won't know really for till long after the election what really was the state of the Obama economy, what was happening in the fall of 2012, what trajectory was the economy really taking. I think, you know, from a political standpoint, in terms of how it affects the election, the question becomes, you know, certainly for the president, do you take credit for the modest recovery that's out there? Do you say, look, we have proof things are moving in the right direction, maybe not as fast as you'd like, or does that create a risk of sounding out of touch? And is it more important to acknowledge that people still have anxiety and pain and say, you know, we need more time, and the other guy, whatever his plan is even worse. If you want to go back to Republican policies, be our guest. but, you know, we know how tough it is. I think this has effectively, you know, the political effect of this has been to tie up the Obama folks in knots. I think they don't know what case they want to make or how they want to make it. And I think, you know, this goes to your last question, why don't they sit down and talk about the effect they've had in Ohio? And I think it's because they don't know how to talk about it. And it's been one of the greatest failings of his presidency and one of the greatest failings of his campaign to this point.
Matt Bai is the chief political correspondent for the New York Times Magazine. And we've been talking about his article, Did Barack Obama Save Ohio? It was in the September 9th issue of the magazine. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Always glad to do it. I love the show. Thank you.